Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Daniel Midgley, linguist and host of podcast Talk the Talk, joins us now for Speakeasy, but we're still being mavericks at the moment.
Perth, you are equally beguiling and abhorrent with some of your rules that you are breaking.
He says that with respect.
Yes, there's a certain exhilaration to it, but also I'm disgusted with you. Frank, the rule that Frank breaks is I constantly drink breakfast juice at lunchtime.
Get out, Frank.
Yeah, Mary says, after trying on clothes, I often make no attempt to return the unwanted clothes to the right racks, just throw them anywhere. Higgledy-piggledy. Sharon's in Forestfield. I ignore indicating at roundabouts if there are no cars around. Well, is a law broken if no one can see it?
If a tree falls.
The answer to that is yes, actually. Who am I indicating to? And I know where I'm going.
That's right. And Steve, being someone that, takes my laundry very seriously, never separating light from dark clothes for the washing.
Mm. Finally, let me just tell you all, in a court of law, the defence that rules are meant to be broken never actually works. The defence rests. Rules are meant to be broken, Your Honour. I wouldn't advise it. Daniel, rule breaker?
You monsters. I do have some that I break. I love to ruthlessly split infinitives. See how I did that there? There was two split, and I stuck a ruthlessly right in the middle. And also, sentences are things that I put prepositions at the end of. So there you go. Don't get too close. I'll take you down with me.
You are so bad, Daniel Midgley.
It's all about the rules today.
Yes.
Do you have one
here? Oh, look, we've had a text from Jim, which is one for you. It's, I ignore rules of grammar. I start sentences with so, look, and you know, and I ain't gonna change.
Yeah,
fighting words, Jim.
No, I love it. I love it. See, some grammar rules are very important. Like if I put the words in completely the wrong order, then that's breaking grammar rules. But if I just do things that some people look down upon, then that's just a silly linguistic superstition. But there is something that I have noticed. This is brand new. This is the ABC Style Guide.
Yes.
If you want to know how to write stuff for the ABC or indeed for anything else, this is...
Or if you just want to have a look through it for kicks.
And I am such a copy nerd because I had a great time looking through this. I went from A to Z and here's what I was looking for.
Okay.
And by the way, hello to Tiger Webb, who is the one at the ABC who does this. I've met him. He's pretty cool. I was looking for normal stuff that people should do. I was looking for interesting calls, gutsy moves, and then real howlers.
Okay.
I found all three.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
So let's start with the normal stuff, and yep. I'm going to phrase this in the form of a lightning round for the both of you.
Oh, no.
Are you ready?
I hate it when we're tested.
I know, yeah. And I think I've got a feeling we're going to embarrass ourselves
yes.
in this one.
Okay.
What's new?
A lot, one word or two.
That is, oh.
It depends.
No, that's two words, isn't it?
It is two words. Although, you know.
That's one word. Oh, sorry, we're not being tested.
Okay. If you write a while, you know, then you should, we can expect to see a lot as one word coming down the pike, maybe in 100 years or so. Between you and me or between you and I?
I would say, well, just because it sounds more conversational, I'd go for between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And the fence post?
And the fence post.
Isn't that an expression between you and me and the fence post?
Well, you know, the old grammar rule is split them up, and if it sounds good, then do it. So between you, between I, between me.
Okay.
So between you and me.
Okay.
That's
what we
do. You're two for two, Paula.
And suddenly
I've gone silent in this quiz.
If you're writing about the 80s, do you use any apostrophes?
If I'm writing about the 80s.
Yeah, or the 90s, or any decade.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Correct. No apostrophes. You guys are doing good.
I just copied you. It's like I'm back at uni.
Different from or different than?
I would say...
I think they're both okay.
Yeah. I would say different. And purely coming back to that, you know, does it sound like something I'd say in a conversation?
Let me go first.
Shouldn't be.
Okay, you go first. I would say different from.
Yeah, me too.
You are correct.
Yep.
Okay, when you toe the line, do you toe it with a T-O-E or a T-O-W? Oh.
Isn't it E? Yeah, isn't it the toe as in the thing on your foot?
You put your toe on the line and that's what you do. You guys are all right. Okay, last one. A horrific occurrence or an horrific occurrence?
I would say a horrific.
I have been brought up to say a horrific experience.
Okay.
But if you say that to a younger person, they will say they are now interchangeable. You can say a horrific or an horrific.
A lot of these really are interchangeable. It's just that the style guide has to come down on one side or the other.
It'll be A.
They've come down on A.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, now.
So cop that, young people. I'm right.
All right, then there were some gutsy moves.
Okay.
All right, this is, let's see, AM, writing AM. I noticed that when you write 6 AM, they don't put a space between the 6 and the AM.
It's just squashed together?
Squashed together.
I couldn't do that. Let's not get crazy.
I think that's interesting because I can think of one advantage. When it breaks over a line, you won't break your 6 AM. You'll keep it together.
It's one. It is pretty much one. I mean, to me, mentally, it's one idea. It's one word. Why not have it together?
It's a thing. Is there a difference between burned and burnt?
See, this is. I always mess up these ones.
I thought they were interchangeable, but not to the ABC.
Okay.
Burned is when you did it yesterday. Yesterday, I burned the toast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you use have, like I have burnt the toast, or the toast was burnt.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting.
If I were getting grammatical, I would say it's the difference between past tense and past participle. Wow.
He's talking dirty now.
This is Speakeasy with Daniel Midgley, and we're being put to the test.
Internet. Uppercase I or lowercase I?
Uppercase.
Used to be.
No, I'd go lower, actually.
Used to be, but now it's lower.
Uppercase. Okay. Oh. Sorry.
The internet has lost its I, and it's become the internet. Let's see. PIN number. A lot of people get annoyed when you talk about PIN numbers because the N in PIN stands for number.
The ATM phenomenon.
Yes, let me just go to the automatic. What is it?
It's the ATM machine.
I'm blanking on what ATM stands for.
Automatic teller machine.
It's the automatic teller machine.
Yes.
So they say watch out for that, but they say that PIN number has become so acceptable that it's okay.
I like the way that eventually if we all just keep doing the wrong thing, it becomes convention and then everything's fine.
Exactly.
We'll come back to these, Daniel, but we have a question and it is from Jackie. Good morning.
Good morning. What I want to know is how should, in Australia, we say what I would have said in English and have always said lieutenant, but the ABC now is saying lieutenant.
Yep.
What is the correct pronunciation?
Great question, Jackie.
Such a good pronunciation. I think this is one of those where it is changing. If I wanted to really research this, I would have to hear some actual examples. But I think I am hearing things shifting from lieutenant to lieutenant. I'm going to keep an eye on this one. This one's on my look list. But if you don't like it, you might be disappointed.
Are you sticking with lieutenant, Jackie?
Yes.
Okay.
Hold the line, soldier.
And I thought it varied. And, you know, this is coming from someone who can barely remember what the right one was. But it depends on which branch of the armed forces you're talking about when it comes to lieutenant or lieutenant. And I can't remember which is which.
Ah, right. I think we need to revisit this one.
Yes. Well, I'll check the style guide.
Here's another one. Singular they. You know, they is usually for more than one person, but lately we've started saying, you know, someone came to the door, but I didn't get their number or something like that. And some people say, no, you should never use they for one person, but we are starting to use it for people, for an individual, maybe if they don't strongly identify with any gender or it doesn't matter what their gender is for the purpose of the sentence. So apparently, according to the style guide, singular they is okay.
Okay. They is okay.
Singular they is okay.
Got to get that bumper sticker.
Hey, yeah, good idea.
Singular they is okay.
And now I got some really weird ones, and I can't believe that these made a difference.
Let's get crazy.
Okay. Here's what it says. Collide. Only moving objects can collide, so a moving object cannot collide with a stationary one.
Okay.
Therefore, two moving cars can collide, but it's not possible for a car to collide with a parked car or a tree. And this is dumb. Oh, my gosh. John McIntyre of the Baltimore Sun comments on this. He says, this is a bogus rule long since exploded. Look at a dictionary. Look at Fowler's. Garner doesn't even bother with this. And the copy curmudgeon says, actually, picking your nose seems like a better use of time than enforcing this rule. At least it makes one person feel better.
I love it. So what would you use instead of collide then?
I would say that a car collided with a tree. That's fine.
A collision, yes, with a tree.
A collision. Electrocute. If you get electrocuted, are you dead?
No.
No.
Well, apparently, according to the style guide, this means killed by electricity, and that's electric execution. That's where the word comes from.
Okay. Yeah,
so you would not say electrocuted to death, nor would you say someone is in hospital recovering after being electrocuted, they'd be dead. This is so dumb. I can't believe this minute. And just finally, they say ice cream should be hyphenated.
What? Oh, come on.
No. And then no one is also hyphenated. Who hyphenates ice cream?
Yes.
Nobody sticks a hyphen in there.
Sorry.
No. What? Yes.
Oh, Peter Bell is confessing
and
to being an ice cream.
No one.
I'm an ice cream hyphenator. It's my nickname.
You ice cream hyphenator.
Yeah. My friends say, what's the ice cream hyphenator doing tonight? It's probably at home hyphenating.
Don't call you the ICH.
Got a couple of questions for you, Daniel. That's brilliant. From Daniel. Past tense for shine, shined or shone.
Yeah.
American books has the former.
Well, actually, this was funny because I have in American English seen S-H-S-H-O-N-E, shone, but they pronounce it shone. And then I come over here and it's all shone. So I think that shined may be coming up a bit in the corpus, but the pronunciation is a little bit variable.
This is Speakeasy with Daniel Midgley. Rob has got a question about an oxymoron. Daniel, go for it, Rob.
I'm ready.
I have a great annoyance. You know those vehicles that have four wheels and sort of look like a motorcycle? What do you call those?
Quad bikes. Do you mean quad bikes?
Exactly. Now, you said it. Now, what does quad mean?
Four.
And what is bike me, or bike.
Oh, I see where you're coming from, Rob.
That means two. So what you're calling it is a four-wheeler, two-wheeler.
Yeah, that's the other name that I refer to it as, Rob.
So?
And you have to call it, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Because that's dumb. That is really
wonderful. So Rob can't even bring himself to say the word quad bike. Hey, Rob, would you be more comfortable with saying bye bike?
But how do you know it goes both ways?
Rhino, Rob, moving right along to Don, and we have the Lieutenant conundrum. Don, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, just wondering if your wordsmiths could look into that. It's a French word, obviously.
Yeah.
And the first half, lieu, means place.
Yep.
And the second half, roughly, means holding. Tenant is to hold. So
exactly.
I'm thinking it means to hold a place. So therefore, the closer pronunciation would seem to be lieutenant rather than lieutenant. But it's just a thought, and you guys may want to look into that.
We will.
That is great. Yeah, absolutely bang on with the etymology there.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. A text, lieutenant for army, apparently lieutenant for the other two.
Oh.
Which is kind of it. It looks like you've got some homework this week, Daniel.
I think we're going to have to deal with this first thing next time, hey.
And Peter, good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. My issue is with when we elect members of parliament.
Yep.
Why do they? How many parliaments do we have? We got one.
We got one. Right?
So why are they called MPs and not MSP?
Very good.
That is. I will be right. I'll be taking this up with my MSP pretty soon. Nobody does plurals like that. English just doesn't.
Well, I always get up when you join the ABC as a cadet reporter, as I did 10 years ago. You know, that's the last time that I really studied our style guide closely.
Okay.
And even though I should, you know, do it on a daily basis. But there's certain rules that you learn. And when we had Peter talking about MSP there, attorneys general, yes. Attorney general, there's these weird things that are around that
usually,
you need to learn.
Usually holdovers from French.
Yes.
Yes. One of those weird cases where we have adjectives following the noun instead of coming before it.
All right. Greg says a comment on however as a link word. I think it starts a new sentence.
However. Oh, sorry.
I don't know. I think that you can stick it in the middle. I wanted to have some ice creams, comma, semicolon. However, comma, I decided not. No, it fits in the middle of a sentence. If you want to object to anything, object to having however at the end. But, you know, for me, it's all G.
You say a horrible, but ABC News read an historic. Why is it different?
That is such a weird question. I mean, it's a great question, but it's such a weird thing because why do we say an historic but not an hilarious? They both sound the same. They have the same sounds in them. I think that it's just a convention. We just got used to it, and now we're stuck with it.
Sue says, I get mixed up with got and gotten.
Gotten is one of those things in American English that's very useful. You can say, I've got three complaints, which means I want to complain about three things. But I've gotten three complaints means that three people have complained about me. Now, this distinction is lost in British English, at least, but I love having that. I've got a cold, I've gotten a cold. They're not the same.
And there's not a morning that goes by that I wouldn't take three complaints and three complaints only. Daniel, that was awesome. Always a pleasure to catch
up.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, you both.
Daniel Midgley, linguist, whose podcast is Talk the Talk. We do Speakeasy every Thursday.